Welcome back to the Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. Today we study Perek Daled, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin with Pasuk Gimel, with the third Pasuk, because the first two Pasukim we did in our study of Perek Gimel. Kicho amar Hashem li Yehudah v'Yerushalayim. This is the word of God to the people of Yehudah and to the city of Yerushalayim. Niru lechem ner v'altizru kotzim. Plow your field over and over again, and don't plant so the thorns will grow. Himolu l'Hashem. Circumcise your hearts to God. Hasiru olot l'vavchem. Take away the covering, the sheath that covers your heart. Ish Yehudah v'Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Pen tetzei ka'esh chamati. Because if you don't do that, my anger is going to be like fire. Uvara ve'in mechabeh. It's going to burn and no one will be able to extinguish it. V'pnei ro'a ma'alechem. Because of the evil ways that you're acting. Here we return to this theme that we've been explaining since we began our study in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yirmiyahu. And that is, Yirmiyahu is not coming and saying destruction is happening for sure. He's not simply a Navi of destruction predicting the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and I told you so. Rather, Yirmiyahu is saying there may be destruction. God's still very angry with you, but it's possible to stop it if your tshuva, if your repentance to God is complete. We also saw that when we studied the background of this time period, when we saw the early years of Yoshiyahu in our study of Divrei Yomim Bet Perek Lamed Daled, we saw how the return of the nation to God coincided with the beginning of the career of Yirmiyahu in the 13th year of the reign of Yoshiyahu. In other words, here we find a time period where the nation as a whole is officially returning to God. The king has begun a national movement eradicating idol worship from the country. There's a call upon the people to return to God. They're renovating the temple. And the people think they're doing proper tshuva. At least on an outward sense, everything seems to be fine. Yirmiyahu is coming and telling the people, what you think is tshuva, what you think is repentance, is nowhere near enough. What you're doing is simply like a farmer who wants crops to grow, planting seeds without plowing the ground first. And anyone who knows agriculture knows from experience that if you don't plow the field over and over again, if you don't prepare the soil in the proper way, what you plant is not going to grow properly. Therefore, the Navi comes and tells the people, you have to plow your fields. You have to do tshuva much, much better. You have to dig down deep into your heart. You have to get rid of the orla, what he calls the sheath that covers your heart. You have to get rid of everything covering your heart that's stopping you from returning to God properly and show a total turnaround and a total dedication to God. That's the only type of behavior that can stop this decree. Because if your tshuva, if your repentance is only skin deep, God is sure we're going to go back to the same pattern as before. If the return to God is only about ritual, only about prayer, but not about behavior, and not about core values of Judaism, the Navi is saying, we've been there, we've done that, that's not going to work this time. This is exactly the dilemma that Yirmiyahu is going to face through most of his career, where he's talking to a people who think that they're following God. He's talking to a people who realize they're doing much better than the previous generation. They're praying to God in the Beit HaMikdash. On the other hand, Yirmiyahu claims that their return to God is nowhere near enough. The last phrase in Pasuk Daled is very important, because there Yirmiyahu explains why this destruction is going to happen. He says, Pen teitzei cha'esh chamati, uvara ve'en b'chabeh, lest my anger come out like fire, and no one will be able to extinguish it, b'nei ro'a ma'al alechem, because of the wickedness of your ways. This word ro'a ma'al alechem, Yirmiyahu uses it over and over again. When we study Perek Zayin, we're going to see exactly what it's referring to. Take a quick look in Perek Zayin, chapter 7, Pasuk Gimel. Ko amar Hashem tzvot elohi Yisrael hetibu darchechem u'ma'al alechem, v'ashaknetchem b'makom hazeh. Yirmiyahu, in a very similar situation, tells the people to do better, fix your ways, improve your ways, and your behavior. In Hebrew, the word alila is also for someone plotting something, thinking about doing something. People behave in a certain way, but people also plan how they're going to behave. And this is referring to not only how they're acting, but also how they're planning to act. Then the Navi continues in Pasuk Daled, Ki mitiv titivu darchechem v'tmal alechem. If indeed you improve your ways, and now we get a list of what that means to improve your ways. Imasu tasu mishpat, if you do justice. Be'ishu ben reo, between man and his fellow man. Ger yatom v'amana lo tashoku. Don't oppress the stranger, the widow, the orphan. V'dam naki al tishpuchu b'makom hazeh. And don't spill innocent blood. And then don't follow other gods, etc. Then v'shikante etchem b'makom hazeh. Then I'll allow you to remain in this land. We'll do that in detail when we study Perek Zayin. But I simply wanted to show you that this phrase, Ro'a Ma'al Alechem, your evil behavior, is referring primarily to acts of social justice, of kindness, and behavior within society, more so than ritual and bringing korbanot. Yirmiyahu is going to talk about behavior in both of these areas, but it's clear what Yirmiyahu is referring to is your return to God, simply praying to Him and bringing offerings, is not nearly enough in order to undo this decree from the time of Menashe. Recall as well, in our study of Sefer Melachim Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, where we saw the decree of destruction already back in the time of Menashe, which Yehoshua was trying to prevent. There it said as well that God is going to bring a terrible destruction on Yerushalayim. That decree is still intact, and if you don't improve as much as I expect you to, destruction will happen. One of Yirmiyahu's opening lines in the first parak was the analogy of a makel shaked, a quick blossoming almond tree, coming to tell the people, I've been warning you a lot, but now it's going to come very fast, much quicker than you think. And that is exactly what Yirmiyahu is going to continue to explain now in Perek Dalet. In the next several psukim, after this warning, Yirmiyahu is going to explain about this nation that's going to come and possibly destroy them. Verse 5, Pasuk Hey. Hagidu b'Yudah v'Yerushalayim. Tell again the people of Yudah and Yerushalayim. Hashmiu v'imru tiku v'shofar. Make your voices heard and say, blow the shofar. Here we blow the shofar in the context of when there's a war breaking out and a city is about to be attacked. The guards blow a shofar to tell the people to gather inside the walled city and get the army ready and prepare for this attack. Kir'u malu v'imru heyatsfu v'navo al arei ha-miftzar. Call out, gather together and say, let's everyone gather and come to our fortified cities. Suneis tziona. Lift up a high banner towards the city of Tzion, referring here to Yerushalayim, which was a fortified city. Ha'izu al tamodu, quickly come. Don't tarry, don't stay back. Instead, come to the walled city. Why? Ki ra'a anochi mevi mitzafon, v'shever gadol. I'm going to bring a very terrible enemy from the land of the north, and disaster is about to happen. Who's coming? Allah aryeh mitzubcho. A lion is coming out of his den. U'mashchit go'im nasa yatsamim komo. A nation of a destructive nature is traveling now. It's come out of its place from up north, from Bavel, working its way down to Yerushalayim. Recall that even though Bavel is to the east of the land of Israel, when someone comes from Bavel and marches an army into the land, he has to come along the Fertile Crescent and hence enters the land of Israel from the north. And even though Bavel is to the east, as far as Yerushalayim is concerned, he's coming from the north. Yirmiyahu saw this already in Perek Aleph, where he saw that boiling over pot facing the north, where he said, "Mitzafon tipatach ha-ra'ah," destruction will come from the north. We finish on Pasuk Zayin. L'sum artzech l'shama araich titzena mein yoshev. This nation coming from the north is like a lion coming out of its den, and he's going to put your nation, your land, l'shama, for destruction, and your cities will be ruined without any inhabitants. Azot, because of this, kigru sakim siftu behelilu. Because of this, put on sackcloth, signs of mourning, siftu, give hespedim, eulogies, behelilu, that's anamanapia, making noises of crying. Why? Ki lo shav charon af Hashem imenu. God's anger is not gone away from us. This last phrase, again, is our key point. The people think that God's decree is over. Everyone knows the decree of destruction from the time of Menashe. Everyone realizes they were about to be destroyed. But because Ashur now fell, and Yerushalayim wasn't destroyed in the end, and the entire empire of Ashur has fallen, and Yoshiah was returned to God, everyone thinks that the worst is over, and that the tshuva has been enough. Yirmiyahu is telling the people, the worst is still yet to come, unless your tshuva is proper. In the next parshia, beginning in Pasuk Tet, in verse 9, Vaya bayom bahu num Hashem, Yovad lev ha-melech v'lev ha-sarim, v'nashamu ha-kohanim v'nevim mitmahu. On that day, when the nation of Bavel and their army comes marching from the north onto the land of Israel, all the people whose advice was that Bavel wouldn't come, all the people predicted that things would be quiet and there would be peace, they're going to be totally surprised when indeed this prediction comes true. And therefore, Yovad lev ha-melech v'lev ha-sarim, the heart of the king and the heart of the ministers who've been predicting quiet and peace, and also v'nashamu ha-kohanim v'nevim mitmahu. The priest and the prophets will also be amazed and surprised, how could such a thing be? Because they were all predicting quiet. V'yamar. Then the Navi, in parenthetical way, responds to God and says, Aha Hashem Elohim. Achein hashei hisheta la'amaze v'dushlaim nemor shalom yalechem. Have you been misleading your people by letting your false prophets tell the people there'll be peace and quiet? The word here, hashei hisheta, is very interesting. We find the exact same word in the story of Gan Eden, when Chava was challenged by the snake, by the Nachash, to eat from the Eitz Hadaat. When God asked the Isha, why did you eat from the Eitz Hadaat? She said as follows, in Perek Gimel, in Sefer Breshit, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Hashem Elohim le'Isha, Mazot Asit, Vatomer Ha'Isha, Hanachash Hishi'ani v'Ochel. The Isha answered back to God, the Nachash tricked me and I ate. The idea that someone is challenging another person and misleading him, trying to get him to misunderstand what God's message is, the Navi here uses the exact same word that Sefer Breshit uses. The Navi is explaining how God's Navim, speaking falsely in God's name, had misled the people to think that everything will be fine and not to believe Yirmiyahu's prediction of a nation coming to punish them if they don't do proper tshuva. Instead, the sword is almost about to kill us. Yirmiyahu is asking God, why is it that you allowed your prophets to say things in your name falsely, misleading the people, thinking everything would be fine? Now, beginning in verse 11, God's going to explain to Yirmiyahu how he's going to bring destruction and why he's bringing destruction. At that time when Babel comes and he's marching his army to destroy Yerushalayim, it will be said about the people of Yerushalayim, Ruach tzach shvaim b'midbar, there'll be a very strong wind high up from the mountains coming from through the desert. Derech batami, carrying the people. Lo lizrot v'lo lahavar. This strong wind, which for an agriculturalist, gathering the wheat of his field is something very good, because you can do what's called zoreh when you're harvesting your wheat and you want to take the grain away from the chaff. What you do is you throw up the wheat after grinding a little bit and the wind blows away the chaff and the kernels remain. That's called zoreh. Lavar is like borer. That's using the wind to separate between the kernels of grain and other impurities in this mixture. Again, for someone working the field, this strong wind is usually something very useful and helpful. Now he's saying there's going to be a strong wind from the desert, which is going to be exactly the opposite. It's going to come and bring destruction. Ruach malei me'ele yavoli. God's saying, for my sake, I'm going to get a wind stronger than this. Ata now, gamani adaber mishpatim otam. I'm going to use this wind, the strong wind of destruction, referring to the armies of Babel coming and marching on the land. That will be the way I'm going to speak my words and my judging of the people for the bad deeds. He continues now in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hine kananim ya'aleh. It's going to come up in the land like clouds. Uchasufa markavotav. Kalu min sharim susav. Its horses and chariots are going to come quickly and fast, and like a quick storm coming out of nowhere. Oy lanu kishudadnu. Oy to us, because we're going to be robbed. Through Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Navi is explaining how Babel is going to come quickly from the north and begin destruction of the land. God's saying it's not going to happen for sure. It's still possible to prevent it. And now we go back to the theme like we saw before. Now Yirmiyahu explains what needs to be done in order to prevent this. Verse 14, Pasuk Yedalad, Kapsi mera'a libech Yerushalayim. Wash out your heart from its evil, the people of Yerushalayim. Leman tifashei, in order that you be saved. Ad matai talin bikibech machshavot onech. How long are you going to continue to think about doing bad things, and that's going to prevent your salvation? And now we return again to the nation coming from the north. Dan is a city on the northern border of Yerushalayim. Ki ko magid midan. Umashmiya aven mihar Ephraim, as Bevel is coming down and marching on the land. Haskiru l'goyim, let it be known to all the nations. Hinei yashmiru al Yerushalayim, news has already come about Yerushalayim. Notzrim ba'im me'eretz hamechak, invaders are coming from a faraway land. Ir netzura is an ir under siege. Those who are going to lay siege to the city, they're coming and invading from a faraway land. Vayitnu al arei Yehuda kolam, they're going to raise up their voice against the cities of Yehuda. Kishomrei tzadai hayu aleha misaviv, they'll be like guardians watching a field. Because my nation rebelled against me, this is the word of God. We see in these last several psukim, Yirmiyahu is describing in detail, explaining how the nation of Babel is going to come with its army and begin its destruction of the cities of Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu is hoping that it won't happen. He's saying, when it's coming, I want you to understand when they come. This is a sign, a last call to repent. Therefore, he tells them in the end, Pasuk Yudchet now, Darkeich umalalai chasu elalach. It's your ways and your actions and your behavior that's causing this to happen to you. Zot ratech kimar. This is because of your evil deeds. It's bitter. Kinaga libech. It's coming up into your heart. It's going to pierce your heart. And it's all your own fault. Notice over and over again we have this repeat of a call of destruction about to happen. And a last minute call of tshuva to repent. And therefore we see very clearly in Perek Dalet as well that Yirmiyahu isn't saying it has to happen. It's saying it's a good chance it's going to happen. It's going to happen very quick and very soon. Yirmiyahu's hope, though, is that the people can still prevent this by doing proper tshuva. We begin another parsha now in Pasuk Yotet, also describing how this terrible destruction is about to happen. May I ochila, kirot libi homeli libi, lo acharish, ki kol shavar shamat nafshi, trat mechama. When someone's entire insides is quivering and shaking in fear and begins to pray, that's a classic example of may I ochila. May I'm are the inner parts of a person's stomach. Ochila means praying out to God. Saying, May I achila, kirot libi, homed libi, lo acharish. The walls of my heart are screaming out, and I can't be quiet. Why is the Navi crying out to God so much? Ki kol shofar shamat nafshi. My soul hears the voice of the shofar, trat milchama. I hear the war coming. Shever al shever nikra. One disaster follows another disaster. Ki shudida kol haaretz. The entire land has been robbed. Pitom shudidu ohalai, rege yirati. All of a sudden, my tents have been robbed. In a very short time, they closed up my tent. Now the words here, ohel and yiriot, obviously reminds us of the Mishkan. Here talking about the people's houses are going to be destroyed. But there's a remez here as well to the Mikdash being destroyed, the ohel and the yiriot, which is reminiscent in Chumash of the Mishkan. Ad matai enes eshma kol shofar. Enes, again, is a symbol being held up high, either by armies marching, coming to capture Yerushalayim, or by the people lifting up their banner. We saw before Sion Tziona lifting up the banner to run away to the fortified cities in Sion. You may ask the question, how long do I have to see these visions for? And how long am I going to hear the voice of the shofar? He's hoping the people will do tshuva to prevent this, but he sees this could happen very soon if they don't follow his message. And now, the next parshia, verse 22, Pasach Habet, the Navi explains again what they're doing wrong. Kevilami, my people are foolish. Oti lo yadau, they don't know me. Banim schalim hema, they're stupid children. Lo nevonim hema, they have no wisdom. Chachavim hema lahara, they're wise to do something bad. Uleitiv lo yadau, but they don't know how to do something good. They're bright, they're smart, but they're using all their wisdom and all their cunning to do bad things, and not using their knowledge to do good things. Now he's going to explain what's happening to land using imagery from the story of creation in Chumash. Pasach Gimel. Ra'iti et ha'aretz v'nei tohu v'vohu. I look at the land in this vision of destruction that's about to happen, and what do I see? Tohu v'vohu. Ve'la shemayim v'eino ram. I look up to the heaven and there's no light. Recall back in Sefer Bereshit, in the beginning of the story of creation, va'aretz hayta tohu v'vohu. That's what things were like before creation. Now the land is being destroyed, we go back to tohu v'vohu. The first thing God said is yihi or. And now we're going backwards because of destruction, and there won't be any light. Ra'iti ha'arim v'nei ro'ashim. I see the mountains, and they're shaking. V'chol ha'gvot itkalkalu. And all the high places and the hills are falling apart. Ra'iti v'nei ein ha'adam v'chol ha'shamayim nadadu. I see, and there's no men left anymore. And all the birds of the heaven are flying away. Ra'iti, again, Yirmiyahu sees in this vision, v'nei ha'karmel ha'midbar. Eretz ha'karmel, we explain, was a fruitful land, a mountain land full of trees and fruit and vegetation. Instead, it looks like a midbar, it looks like a wilderness. V'chol Arav, all of its cities, nitzu b'bnei Hashem, b'bnei charon apo. All of its cities are destroyed because of God, because of His anger. In chapter 4, Yirmiyahu is repeating this vision over and over again, this vision of Bavel coming and destroying the land. It hasn't happened yet, it's about to happen, no one wants to believe it, but Yirmiyahu has to repeat this vision over and over again of a war which is imminent, and destruction right around the corner, and this is the last call to the people to recognize what they're doing wrong, improve their behavior, do proper tshuva, and that can prevent it. He repeats this one last time, beginning in Pasach Chaf Zayin, verse 27, Kicho amar Hashem, this is the word of God, Shmama tiye kol ha'aret, the entire land will be destroyed. V'chala lo e'aseh. Despite this, it won't be totally destroyed. Because Yirmiyahu is predicting almost total destruction, he has to remind the people, in case it does happen, don't think that the game is over. Don't think that you won't never come back. I'll destroy you, but not totally. Because ultimately, God's people will come back. Because of this, the entire land is going to be in mourning, and the skies will become dark. I've spoken, I'm planning, I did not change my mind. I'm not going to go back on my decision. God's saying, my decision to destroy the people, to bring this korban, is complete. Now this can be misleading. From this phrase that we just saw at the end of verse 28, a person might think God's saying destruction is happening for sure and there isn't room for tshuva anymore. It seems like Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm predicting destruction and it has to happen. Our claim is exactly the opposite. God's saying if you keep the behavior the way you're doing things now, if your tshuva is only skin deep, like it's been up until now, then for sure destruction will happen. I won't forgive you like I've done before. Over and over again during the first temple period, they were deserving of destruction, but God gave them another chance. God's saying, that won't happen again. If you continue in your ways, destruction is coming out for sure. If you have a total turnaround, do sincere tshuva, and return with a pure heart to God, then it will be stopped. Pasach Haftet, verse 29. We call Parash for Romek Keshet. A Parash is a horseman. Romek Keshet is an archer shooting arrows. Borachat Kol Ha'ir. Because of the sound of horsemen and archers, the entire city is running away. Bo Bavim, they've come to the thickets, trying to hide away in the fields behind vegetation. Uva Kefim Alu, hiding behind rocks. Kol Ha'ir Azuva, the entire city is abandoned. Ben Yoshei Behem Ish, no one's living in them. Va'at Shodud, Matasi, now you've been robbed and destroyed, what are you going to do? Kitubishi Shani, Vechitadi Adi Zahav, are you going to try and get dressed up with fancy clothing? Are you going to put on jewelry? Ki tikri'i vapuch einayich. You're going to put on makeup on your eyes? Lashavti tiapi. It's worthless trying to make yourself look pretty. Masuvach ogvim nafshechi vakeshu. Those who loved you before, those you were running after, they're sick of you already. They want to kill you. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the last verse of chapter 4. Ki kol kecholah shamati. I hear a voice of someone who is sick. Tzarak mavkira. Someone in trouble, like a mother giving birth to her first child. Kol bat tzion titiapech tefares kapeha. The voice of the daughter of Tzion, panting and stretching out her hands in prayer. Oy no li, ki aifa nafshi lohorgim. Woe is to me, because I'm so tired from all this death. In chapter 5, Yirmiyahu is going to continue and explain what is it that the people are doing wrong in a more specific manner. But if I want to summarize what we saw in chapter 4, Yirmiyahu has this vision of Babel coming. In a sense, he's making a prediction of this terrible enemy that's going to come from the north and bring havoc upon the country. No one thinks he's right. All the other prophets are saying there'll be peace, everything will be quiet. The overall feeling in the country is one of redemption. The people thinking they'd repented properly. The people thinking that the decree from the time of Menashe is long gone. The proof is that Ashur has fallen. And things are going better now. The country is growing. Yoshiyahu is a Melech Tzadik. They're rebuilding the temple. Everything seems to be doing fine. And along comes this lone voice of Yirmiyahu telling the people, what you think is repentance is nowhere near enough. And he has these visions over and over again of destruction. And we're going to see they're going to fall on deaf ears. But it's important for the Navi to give the people one last chance to fine-tune their tshuva, to fine-tune their repentance, and return to God in a proper way. As we continue our study of Yirmiyahu, we get a much better picture of what it is the people are doing wrong.